Funny about that. You know who was asking about you the other day?
Who's that?
Nobody.
We talking about sports, skit, bo.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. What it do, you number one podcast listeners? You have tuned in to a brand new episode of the number one podcast in your headphones, Prem Brulee. I'm your host, Premelbot, and we have our annual special NFL Draft Preview edition of Prem Brulee coming at you. I am joined, as usual, each year, by my guy, scouting extraordinaire, comedian, director, sleep addle zone, Thomas Lewis. Welcome, Thomas.
Happy to be here. Love being here. This is the best part of my year, so I'm glad to be here and do it with you. It's always fun. We do it up good.
Yeah, man. I love this edition and what it's morphed into. I get questions from you, number one podcast listeners, so this episode is going to be chock full of those that you submitted out there, and we're going to have Thomas answer them now that his scouting's done with the draft coming up later this month. So without further ado, we got a lot to cover, so
let's go.
Get rolling, man.
I'm ready.
Okay, I only got a few, yeah, fam or not. Most of this is going to be in the who you got section of our podcast, since it has to do with all these questions you all number one podcast listeners submitted. So, but first up, I know I like to intro the draft and what's coming up in case you haven't been following yet. This is your cue to do so. So we're here for you.
Tune in now.
All right. So the NFL draft is approaching. It is April 25th through April 27th. Your top five picks in this year's draft are the Chicago Bears, the Washington Commanders, the New England Patriots, the Arizona Cardinals, and the LA Chargers. As usual in the last few years, day one is on Thursday night. It is just round one. Day two is Friday night, rounds two and three. And then during the day on Saturday, which is April 27th, are rounds four through seven. To orient yourself, the Arizona Cardinals, who, like I mentioned before, picking fourth overall, they have the most picks in this year's draft, heading in, barring any trades, of course. They have 13 picks between the 3 days. They also, and this will come into play later, since they're going to be a topic of conversation, they have 6 picks in the top 90, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
No kidding. For a team that underperformed, they have an opportunity to pick up some really key pieces.
Yeah, that's a stacked like war chest for them.
As far as fewest picks, the aforementioned Chicago Bears are in a four-way tie for fewest picks with the Miami Dolphins, the Carolina Panthers, and the Denver Broncos. Each of those four teams just has 6 picks between the 3 days. Obviously the Bears and Panthers are connected,
and two of the Bears picks are in the top 10 picks total. So.
Yep, exactly. So they only have 4 more in the remaining time.
Yeah.
And the only reason they have a second one is one of those teams, the Panthers, traded last year with.
Yeah.
Them. So, there you have it. Also, the Bears and Broncos especially are obviously in need of quarterbacks, so having 6 picks is not ideal when you're trying to get the quarterback of your dreams. Now, the Bears have the first pick, so they should address that immediately. Nice connection, nice segue. Multiple first-round picks. We already talked about the Bears. Also, the Arizona Cardinals have another first-round pick, and the Minnesota Vikings, who picked one up recently from the Texans. So the Vikings also have 2 first-round picks. As far as no first-round picks, already mentioned the Panthers. The Houston Texans traded out of the first round. They previously had the Cleveland Browns pick, who were already out of the first round. So those three teams, the Panthers, Texans, and Browns, aren't picking on Thursday night as of now, barring any trades. Nice little intro. Not much to EFM or not. I think if you're listening to this, you're a big NFL draft fan, which why wouldn't you be? But I did want to start people off with your mock draft, your top five at least, just for people to not have too much to work with here. And for you number one podcast listeners, I will post Thomas's mock draft over on Twitter, well, formerly known as Twitter, now X. I will post it over there.
Yeah, it's X now.
So you guys can reference it, and I'll link that in our episode description so that way you can see who we had in his mock draft. Now, Thomas was nice enough to give us 2 first-round mocks. One has trades and one is without trades. So if you people like looking at different ones, he mocked a trade in one of his versions and no trades in the other. So your mock draft is the following. Yep. You have the Chicago Bears picking Caleb Williams first, quarterback out of USC.
Yep.
The Commanders at number two, selecting Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner from LSU. Number three to New England is Drake May, quarterback out of UNC. A lot of people feel he's a very pro build. He's got the size, the arm strength for quarterback, but we'll get that assessment from you later.
Side note, pro build, you never hear that mentioned about a black quarterback, no matter what size they are. Just start paying attention to that. You'll never hear it. You'll never hear it. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, congratulations. Yep.
This pro build thing is definitely racially dug in. Yes. It's for sure racially
you're
dug
right,
in.
Because
you'll hear it. You're going to watch the draft and you're going
to
be like. Daniels
both have a pro build, clearly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're literally about to be pro football players.
Young last year, pretty much. So.
Yes. Yeah. And watch. Caleb Williams built like a tank. You'll never hear a pro build from him. You'll hear, like, oh, explosive arm. Like, that's just how they hype up white guys. That's literally, they're like, he looks like a
first one in, last one out type, you know.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, number four, you have the Arizona Cardinals selecting Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously a special name over here in my part of town. And also more on him later. So we'll get your wide receiver takes since there's a lot of them. And that's a nice segue because in one of your mock drafts, the one without trades, you have the Chargers taking Malik Nabers, who is a wide receiver out of LSU at number five. But in the one that you did have trades, you have the Vikings trading up to the top five to get J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan.
Yes, sir.
At number five. So just for you number one podcast listeners to orient yourself to, I guess, those six players, but a quick top five. But if you need to reference them, we'll have those links for you. Ready to go, so you can use Thomas's scouting to prove your expertise amongst your friends and family.
Yes, sir.
All right. A quick yeah, or nah for you before we get into the nitty gritty. Yeah, or nah, this is a deep draft. I ask you this every year. People always want to know this because some years are better than others. So, yeah, or nah, deep draft?
Yeah, it's a deep draft. I think that the draft has, like, if you look at, like, a lot of scouting boards, it's got, like, a really universal, really good, like, 25 guys. A lot of drafts don't have that. They'll have, like, 15 guys that every team really likes and things like that. So in the sense of, like, are there 100 guys that are going to play significant snaps in this draft? Maybe not. Okay. But are there possibility of there being, like, 25 Pro Bowlers from this draft? Yes.
Gotcha.
I do think like the first two rounds are really stacked. At the end, it kind of falters off, but we're kind of seeing, I think this is like one of the last years or second to last year of like anybody who got kind of screwed over by like a COVID year. Yeah. Anybody who kind of got bounced around, I think next year is like the last year of the weird COVIDness. Yeah. And I think we're seeing kind of like a filtration of these guys kind of get spread around, and it's made the last four drafts really interesting. I'm like, actually, COVID was pretty good because it made the NFL draft a little more interesting. But no, it's just one of these things. It's like it's not top heavy because there's like a lot of really good guys. Like there's some draft where there's like 10 good guys, and like you look at a draft,
it is deeper.
Yeah, it's just yeah it's way deeper at the top. There's guys like, I was telling people, like there's years Joe Alt would be a first overall pick.
Yeah.
There's years Dallas Turner would be a first overall pick. And these guys are looked at like sixth and, or seventh and eighth. Yeah. You know, they're both like top 10 guys, maybe. There's like so many guys. Like there was legitimate debate on whether or not the Bears should just take Marvin Harrison first overall. Like,
yeah, when they were.
There's never. And that's four different positions. Yeah, like, totally.
That's also full of segues for later, but we're going to talk about those few position groups later and get your take on how you rank some of those top guys. So we're just teeing them up for
hell yeah,
for you number one podcast listeners.
I love it.
Okay, I got one more for you before we get moving into you played yourself. Yeah, or nah, the Arizona Cardinals, who are picking at number four, should trade down from that spot.
Should? Yes. I would say they probably should. They're already paying their quarterback. They're not ready to compete as it currently stands. People forget, like, this Cardinals team, and like you watch a lot of football too, like they played really well this year. Yeah. They played really good football. A lot went really right for them, and they were still the fourth best worst team in the league. Like, that's how devoid of talent this team actually is, that even though they were playing really well and they had the Josh Dobbs run, you know, they had, like, their backup quarterback came in and people were like, oh, disaster. But he played incredible for them. So it was, like, no loss to them. And they were still just, like, outmanned in a lot of these things. And it's, like, on one hand, like, Marvin Harrison and Neighbors are both game-changing wide receivers. On the other hand, that team has, like, 15 holes left to fill, so it's tough. They already have a huge war chest to begin with, but like if the Vikings came calling with 11-23 and like a next year's first, I think the Cardinals would be fools not to take it.
Definitely.
So they should trade down if they get a good offer, but they shouldn't trade down for the sake of trading down. But for in their case, like,
and that's because they have so many picks, right? You feel that way?
There's so many picks already. Yeah, like they have so many picks that, like, unless you get an offer where it's like, guys, we could have like a bonkers amount of picks. Yeah. Just take Harrison or Neighbors and be done and be happy.
And like we'd said earlier, they have another first, and then they have four more picks after that in the top 90, which is you assume you're drafting those guys to be starters. So, that's the one part of this context that makes it interesting. You know, people think it's a given that they should trade down because quarterbacks at such a premium in the NFL that they should. But when you have so many picks, it's like, what are you going to do with all of those guys? So,
it's like at some point you have to turn those picks into players. Yep. Like, there's like a lot of guys when they play like Madden, even they'll like just take their picks and just keep trading until they have like 15 first round picks. And it's like at some point those guys have to start being contributing football players. They're not like, you ever see that? It's like a Family Guy meme with Peter Griffin. And he's like, it could even be a boat. He's like, do you want this boat or this mystery box? And he's like, give me the mystery box. It could be a boat.
Hold on. You have a choice. You can have the boat or the mystery box.
What, are you crazy? We'll take the boat.
No, not so fast, Lois. A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
Then let's just...
We'll take the boat.
Sometime you just need to take the boat and be like, let's try to make it work.
Totally. I tell you, a team that should consider this, if McCarthy doesn't end up getting picked, we talked about the Bears. They have a second top 10 pick. They're picking at ninth overall. If McCarthy falls, they could be in prime real estate to pick up more picks in this year's draft. So,
100%.
Anyway.
100%.
All right. So a quick FM or not. Like I said, you number one podcast listeners, we want to focus in on the questions you submitted and the ones I have after Thomas has wrapped up his scouting. So also keep with the theme. We didn't want to leave out you played yourself, so I got a quick few, and then we'll get into all the questions. So let's hit that you played yourself intro.
I'm petty as hell.
And
I'm super petty.
Here we
petty. Petty LePew.
Go.
All right. First up on you played yourself, the people, the fans who pretend the salary cap doesn't exist, like this blanket, why isn't Team A getting better? Why are they giving up so many good players? Well, because there's a thing called contracts and the salary cap that you can't just accumulate these gaudy numbers in contracts. Like, people are asking about the Buffalo Bills, why'd they give up Stephon Diggs? It's like, because they're in cap hell right now.
Yeah,
they don't want to give up all these good players, Tre'Davious White, Stephon Diggs. Like, they didn't choose to do that. The head scratching moves are when someone has a good number and a team lets them go for nothing. Or you're the Dallas Cowboys and you trade Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick. Those are the ones.
For fun. Just for fun.
Just for shits and giggles.
As a goof.
Like, I've heard this from friends, like, that rumor, you know, they feed into it, but like Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase trying to get Justin Jefferson in Cincinnati. Like,
Would
like to see it, but you're talking about two wide receivers that are going to be the highest paid, and rightfully so, in the league.
Yeah.
When they get their inevitable contracts, when has a team paid two wide receivers like that and won anything? You can't construct a team that way. It's not.
Yeah, I think the Saints have like warped people's minds because they see the Saints never getting rid of anybody. And they're like, the Saints keep their guys. It's like next year, the Saints have something like 25 guys under contract and they're like $90 million over the cap. Like, this is why the Saints are unserious. They're never competing because they do exactly what other teams are saying. They're like, just extend a guy. Why get rid of a good team? It's like, you never get anywhere if it's easy. You got to make a tough decision. You got to let a Stephon Diggs go. You got to let these guys go to get anywhere.
Yep. And ultimately, when you start paying guys, which Joe Burrow deserves the money, Ja'Marr Chase deserves the money, there is, we all can do the math, there is less of the pie to give out to other players, which means you have to get better at drafting and getting bargain contracts, or maybe it's an aging player here or there. Not everybody has that. The Texans are buyers right now because their star quarterback's on a rookie deal, and they have a great wide receiver on a rookie deal in Tank Dell that they hit on in the draft. They have their best pass rusher was a rookie last year. It's like, that's when your window is. So if you have a really good rookie quarterback, that's when you want a team to be buyers. So when you're on that cheap deal, that's when you want them to be going out and spending money. But you have a very short window. So it's like, just, I know it's not you, number one podcast listeners, but do your best to educate your friends and family that pretend you can just turn off salary cap like it's a video game. It doesn't work that way. Also connected to this, we're keeping this all NFL if you didn't gather, you number one podcast listeners, but You Played Yourself goes to teams waiting to pay their players. Thomas, correct me if I'm wrong, but there has never been a team that has paid less by waiting to pay one of their players up for an...
No, it's just not how it works. This is why every player should get... Look at Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
He's literally increased the bag tenfold, and it's because a player should always bet on themselves.
Totally. Like, the Vikings, pay Justin Jefferson what he's asking for now, because that money, that amount is going to go up. I guarantee it's going to go up. The Dallas Cowboys literally did this years ago with Dak. They waited to sign him. The minute Jalen Hurts signed his contract, all these other guys signed their contracts, they still waited and ended up paying him more. And yet they're flirting with the idea of doing it again, or there's conflicting reports that they're just going to let Dak play out his last year of his deal, or no, the extension talk is not completely dead. I've heard both. But the idea that, oh, by waiting, you're going to magically have to pay them less is just asinine.
And why would you want to? That means the guy had a terrible year. Why would you want that to happen?
There's like, no conceivable.
Oh, I sure hope our quarterback's terrible so we can extend him for cheaper. What? Like, just sign the guy.
Just sign your guy.
You either know or you don't. It's like getting married. It's like, if you doubt it, don't do it. Like, totally agree. It's literally, it's that easy.
Totally. Anyway, I like to add in a few non-sports you played yourselves. So because it just passed, I don't mind a good April Fool's, but these corporate companies overdoing the April Fool's angle is so lame to me. Like, we get it. You think you're being funny by, haha, we're adding this to our menu and it's like a joke item, is so stupid to me. It's so overdone. It's like, you're getting gullible people, and what's the payoff?
Yeah.
Is it leading to more sales? Probably not. So I don't get the point of it.
It's just to distract from, like, oh, look, we're silly. Like, don't look at the fact that our CEO made $30 million last year.
We didn't pay any taxes. Silly. Don't worry about it. We did make an April Fool's joke because everybody else was.
Like, they're making a Pop-Tarts movie. Like, that's just not needed. Like, Jerry Seinfeld cannot possibly need fucking money. Like, there's just no way.
How much do you need? Anyway. Another bonus you played yourself, non-sports. Listen, you number one podcast listeners, you're really playing yourself if you're not getting like me and on this magic mind. Have you tried it, Thomas?
I haven't. I went to go buy it. It's only available at Sprouts. That's a good plug for you guys right there. But it's only available at Sprouts near me.
Yeah, I feel like they're on the ascension. But that's a perfect segue, because I'm going to have a nice little code for you guys that you don't... It'll come right to your doorstep and you won't even have to worry about visiting a Sprouts or whatever grocery store is near you. In the age of delivery, why not just get it sent right to your front door? But the reason I kind of started on this is new son. I got two boys in the house. Energy drinks didn't feel great drinking them that often, and coffee wears out.
Yeah.
But these little shots are so convenient and so quick. I've been feeling way better in the morning, like sustaining energy for the day, to work when I am working, to chasing after the two boys, and throw down this number one podcast for you number one podcast listeners. I think it's probably because it has all natural ingredients instead of those crazy chemicals you can't pronounce. And it's sourced from the best suppliers. There's no sugar. It's vegan, keto, paleo friendly. And best part is you're not jittery. You don't have crashes. And even though it's a little shot, you'd think it's small because it doesn't taste good. They're freaking delicious. So whether it's kids, work, or just life, we all need a boost from time to time of clean energy. I recommend you try it. And like I mentioned before, I got a code for you to try it at a significant discount. You can get it at magicmind.com. That's magicmind.com/creme brulee. You know how to spell it. You're here for a reason. PREMBRULEE. Enter the code brulee20. That's BRULEE20. And with it, you can get up to 56% off your first subscription. Or if you just want to do a one-time purchase, just try it out, you can get 20% off with that code. That's brulee20 for up to 56% off. Also, if you're already on that Magic Mind like your boy, it works for your next subscription. So it's not just a new customer code, which, speaking of you played yourselves, I hate when companies don't reward the people that are already going to them.
Yeah.
So if you're having trouble being at 100% some days too, I recommend you number one podcast listeners try it out. You know I wouldn't steer you wrong. I got Thomas here for a reason. Don't steer you wrong with NFL draft stuff. So why would I steer you wrong about this?
That's what we're here for.
So it's magicmind.com/creme brulee. Discount code is brulee20. Obviously, it's in the episode description in case you forget. And that's for up to 56% off your subscription. I personally value guy. I'd get the 30 pack if I were you, because that's where you get that 56% off, and that way you don't have to remember to buy it as often.
I got a question. How fast do you feel the effects? Because when I do like energy drinks, I feel it instantly, but like in an hour, I feel like garbage.
Yeah, so I think it's like a gradual, you don't, to answer your question, you don't really notice it. Like,
yeah,
it's not like that movie Limitless where your eyes dilate or something. Yeah, yeah, you don't really notice it. Yeah. It feels like a smooth, like, ramp up, and you kind of stay there instead of like a huge peak of energy burst, like you said, to a crash.
Yeah,
that's what I like.
That's probably what I need. Yeah, yeah.
It's sustained. And
yeah, because I like it. I actually am. I'm an energy drink guy. I don't do a lot of coffee, but like I feel like I hate the immediate burst of energy. I almost feel like it's a marketing scheme. Like I drink a Monster or a Red Bull, and then like an hour and a half later, I need like another one. Otherwise I'm going to like fall asleep. You know what I mean? I'm like completely out of it.
Like you're fiending.
Yes. Yeah. Like that's what it feels like. I need to get off Red Bull. Like no one on the planet needs to get off Red Bull quite like I do. Like,
yep, totally. And I was with you there too. Cause oh yeah, it's like a quick short payoff, but this is like okay, I need to be productive all day and alert, and I think this does that without any sort of crash. I haven't noticed a single crash since I've started it. So,
and for those of you that don't know, Prem and I are drink aficionados, and we'll report on drinks that we have to each other. Like, hey, you got to try this new Sprite flavor, or like, he sent me the Coca-Cola spice, and I was like, I'm on it, dude. Go out and get it. Like, we send the recs to each other. It is. Yep. It feels Dr. Peppery, the Coca-Cola spice, right? Yep. Like that's.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he says it's good, like I trust his word, I'm excited to try it.
Definitely. So yeah, number one podcast listeners, check it out. Info is in the description. If not, just rewind it about 30 seconds to a minute and hear it again. So, yeah, you number one podcast listeners, don't play yourself. Get on that Magic Mind like I'm on, like Thomas about to be on. All right. Now, we are on to the main event. Now that we wrapped up, you played yourself. We are going to go over to who you got and what you're feeling. And this is going to be a jam-packed section, since this is where all the questions are going to come for you, Thomas, as we rely on your scouting expertise, which Coach didn't get hired. Surprise us more, Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel. So we talked a little bit about that, but I wanted to focus everything we had on the NFL draft for you number one podcast listeners. So, all right. So first up, we had some Titans fans chime in when I asked for questions. Who are they? Who do you have them mocked getting? what are their needs, that sort of thing.
The Titans are in a tremendous position in this draft because with three quarterbacks going, they're basically locked into the fourth. Like, we know three quarterbacks are going before the Titans. Doesn't matter who goes up, who trades them into there. They're mocked into one of the four other guys that are going to fall, and that's like Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Dallas Turner, or Joe Alt. Like, one of those guys can turn that team around really quick. Will Levis could use all of them. Dallas Turner's going to, you know, help keep him off the field. You know, he's going to get him on the field more. He's going to make an impact on that defensive side so big that I just cannot see the Titans passing up on him if Nabers and Harrison are there. The only way I could see them doing it is if some sort of trades happen ahead of time and they see, like, you know, if Romo Dunze is available at 7, I don't think they'll go Roma Dunze, but I think it just means that there's not quite the push for wideouts they thought there would be. Some guys might fall down. There might be a later round guy like that. Joe Alt is somebody I also love, but again, I think that it would depend on the value. So I think if three wideouts go before the Titans, they'll take Dallas Turner. And if three wideouts don't go, I think they'll probably either take one of the wideouts or Joe Alt.
Got it. And for your guys' reference, Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame. We're going to talk about your offensive line and specifically offensive tackle rankings here in a little bit. But he's arguably the top tackle. Most scouting experts. Dallas Turner is the top edge rusher. He went to Alabama.
Stop.
So just you'll hear his name. Stud, yep. Next question I have for you kind of flows right into this, so I assume we know the answer to this. When, if Dallas Turner's top defensive player, which I assume he is, when do you see him coming off the board? Is it at Tennessee at 7, or do you think there's a chance he goes before
that? I think that's where he would go. I think there's too much offense. I don't think Dallas Turner falls further than 8, though. There's drafts where Dallas Turner would be the first overall pick and it wouldn't be close. Like, people would be ecstatic. I think he's a better player than Will Anderson, who just got taken 3rd overall last year. They traded up for him, all that. Like,
And one defensive rookie.
Like, I think he's absolutely a better player than Will Anderson, and Will Anderson is an incredible player. It's actually a miracle Alabama hasn't won a championship in quite some time. I think Nick Saban saw the writing on the wall and was like, if I can't win with these cats, I'm not winning with anybody.
I honestly
think Dallas Turner's super good. I think he'll fall at 8th the latest. In terms of, like, the scariest guy in the draft, it's a tougher question for me. I will say there's like a couple ways to interpret it. I think Jerzon Newton is a lot like Aaron Donald, where he's going to get picked by a team and someone's going to be like, how did he fall to like 19? And the other saying, that guy Latu, the edge from UCLA, I'm sorry if I screwed that up, but he is the best pure pass rusher we've seen in years. But at his last school, I think it was Washington, the team doctors actually told him to medically retire. They were like, he's got to medically retire. Like, he's screwed up, which is what they did to Justin Ross at Clemson, who has just been wasting away on Kansas City's depth chart. He could be the best player in this draft in totality. But he could all, like, absolutely. But also, he's the scariest. I would not want my favorite team to pick him. I would be so scared. I'd be like, this guy's going to get hurt. It's over. We just wasted a premium pick on this guy. I do think that he could be the scariest in a lot of different ways, but that's how I would interpret that question.
Wow. I like that. If you're a risk taker, you want that type of person.
Yeah. But
maybe that's a perfect pick for a later team to
exactly.
say, hey, we don't need this person.
But Arizona has 2 firsts. You know, if he falls it's like, hey, can we trade up, use this war chest, take this chance? You know what I mean? Yeah. We already got Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, there's a lot of reasons. I love him. I have him mocked. Every time I do a mock and I try to, like, get into, like, the heads of what's going on, I have him go from, like, as high as 9 all the way to, like, 25. And it's just, like, he could go anywhere because he's that good and that scary of a prospect.
So you have, for reference, your number one podcast listeners, you have Newton in the 18-19 range. In one mock draft, you have him 18 to your Bengals. And in the other, you have him going 19 to the LA Rams.
That would hurt. That means that we would, that would hurt. I love Newton. Like, I think Newton's really good.
Well, so Also, for reference, Jerzon Newton is out of Illinois, so he's a defensive lineman out of there. So keep that in mind when you see his little highlight reel.
I'll start referencing the schools they go to.
Yeah. Okay. I am particularly interested in this one, and we'll talk overall rankings of quarterbacks, but is the J.J. McCarthy hype real? For you number one podcast listeners that are new to your draft coverage, J.J. McCarthy is a topic of high interest among draft experts.
Yeah, he's a tough one.
Yeah, so a lot of talk of maybe a team moving up to get him. In the conversation with the other three quarterbacks we mentioned that you have in your top three, which are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. So is the J.J. McCarthy hype real?
J.J. McCarthy is interesting because he was incredibly underrated in the draft circles all this last year. They had him listed as like a second round guy. They were like, oh, you know, he's maybe a project or something like that. That was never the truth. He was always like a mid to late first round kind of guy, a lot like Justin Fields, where it's like he has everything you need, and if he could put it together, it's great. He's a lot like where Zach Wilson should have been, where it's like he's a project, do all this stuff, and it's like he's got everything you need. I think the hype is real in terms of like he's a great decision maker. He is a good risk taker. A lot of people hear that and they're like, they get nervous. They're like, oh, he throws risky balls. Sometimes you have to. And they had a lot of talent at Michigan. I think the fact that Michigan cared so much about winning and they were like, hey, we're up 10. We're going to run the ball 30 times straight. Yeah. I don't care about anything else. Just run the clock.
Yep.
Hurt him a lot. But I think
definitely the perception.
Yeah. The perception is he couldn't throw, but in reality, he was successful every time he had to throw. So it's really not. There's not a lot of issues with J.J. McCarthy that would scare me. I think a team's going to overdraft him just because I think quarterbacks always get overdrafted. But J.J. McCarthy is the kind of quarterback I actually would want, despite being like a literal weirdo where he's like doing like he's like taking Zen moments with his shoes off in the end zone and stuff like whatever. But like, you know who else didn't throw a lot? And I know they wore the same uniform. Tom Brady did not throw a lot in college. He was not a big thrower of the football. Like a lot of these guys aren't. And it's not their issue. Like it's not like their fault. Like what's he gonna go out there, tell Jim Harbaugh to kick rocks, he's gonna sling it 30 times a day? No. So I think the hype is real in terms of like people are now starting to maybe overrate him a little bit based on how underrated he was, but I think it's fair. I think he's fair. Like I would not, if he gets taken above Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Well, he's not getting taken above Caleb, but if he gets taken above those guys, the hype was overblown. He should not be taken above those guys. But he is very solidly the fourth quarterback in this draft, and he's a good quarterback prospect.
So the conversation around him is you hinted at it. It's like the sample size, and there were full on games that Michigan won where they didn't have him throw in the second half. They just you mentioned it, and so the perception is like Jim Harbaugh didn't trust him with the ball in his hands to like go win basically. Yeah. But his throws, everything was very pro. Like obviously his coach is Jim Harbaugh, who's now with LA Chargers. And for what it's worth, Harbaugh has been very complimentary of McCarthy. I think he called him the best quarterback in the draft, which your
former
coach
should. He wants someone to take him at four.
Yeah. The price went up, right?
See right through that one.
That is very interesting. I want to ask you a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Okay, you said he's probably like late to mid-first level. If a team needs a quarterback, let's say, in that area, is the need for quarterback more important? So, like, if you like a guy at, let's say, pick 20, is it logical to say you should also like him at pick 5? Or is that not accurate?
Yeah, especially
with
quarterbacks.
Is that just for quarterback? Okay.
No, it's for everybody. There's always a rule that, like, you know, and when I had worked, when I've only sold two scouting reports in my entire life. I have no idea if they were used. I don't know. But I can say in my time in there interviewing with the team that I was talking to, I got around that NDA. I was in there talking to the team, I found out that, like, a lot of teams don't employ the mentality they should, which is, like, who's your guy? Like, don't get the pick and say, who are we taking here? You know what I mean? Make a list of guys and go get them. It doesn't matter. Like, if, you know, I mean, I'm just going to use like, if Brock Bowers is your guy and you pick second overall, take him. Don't risk him going somewhere else. Be like, oh, the positional value isn't there. Take him. If that's your guy, take your guy. It's just like that with J.J. McCarthy. If a team like the Vikings or Broncos are like, ah, oh, we want J.J. McCarthy. I hope he falls to 12. Yeah. Don't. There's no other quarterback option for you. The fifth.
Spoiler alert on that. We'll talk about who you have fifth and all that. But
you do not want to be the fifth quarterback taken in this class. You just do not want to be the fifth quarterback taken in this class.
I always like to ask that question because it – the discourse always is like, ah, they reach for this guy, but there's a lot to say. Like, if you've done your scouting and you need that position, or, you know, he's the best player available on your big board.
Look at the Cowboys with Travis Frederick.
I've admitted I was very critical of that pick, and he was phenomenal.
That was like a great example.
I will give credit where it's due. The Cowboys notoriously are good at, hey, we didn't have a need at this position, but he's the top player on our board at that.
Yeah. That's what the Ravens do. The Ravens don't even have a positional need board. They literally make a list of their top guys, and they just pick off of it. Like, they're like, okay, that's it. When they drafted Kyle Hamilton, they had safeties, and they were like, we'll find a place for him. He's incredible. Like,
if we want the guy, that's how the Cowboys ended up with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they didn't need one that year, and that was a great pick.
That's how you should do it.
Who is this year's Mr. Irrelevant, since we care about that now? Obviously, a jab at Brock Purdy. But I kind of take this as, like, who do you see in that late range that could have potential?
I don't want to call this my, like, my Clayton Tune, Bailey Zappi
pick, real ones, no.
But I will. Yes. So every time I've predicted a guy to come in here and play, and I'm like, this late round guy is going to start, I've been right. I think we're I'm undefeated.
I went back at least the last 2 years.
I love getting the tweet from you. Yeah, I love getting the tweet. You're like, Clayton Tune alert. And I'm like, I guaranteed it. I think Michael Pratt from Tulane is the late round quarterback could show that he's pretty good. And the insult that he gets, not just to give everybody like a kind of a brief scouting report on him, is he's like incredible with touch throwing, incredible fundamentals, incredible in the pocket. He has smaller measurables and people are like looking at his arm strength, but like, I watch, especially with quarterbacks, I don't do this with like every player, but I definitely do this with quarterback. I watch every throw they make in their college careers.
Wow.
You go on YouTube, they're about an hour and a half to 2 hours for each one. It's not as bad as people think. And it's like you go back a couple times. But Michael Pratt, arm strength has never been an issue because he's not throwing the ball 60 yards downfield. Just don't write up those plays and you're fine. Like, it's not in I would not do it. Like, I think it's insane that the Dolphins have Tua do it. And it's like, how many times do you see Tyreek coming back to the ball? Just don't run these plays, like, or have him throw it earlier. So I think Michael Pratt has everything you need to succeed as a quarterback. And I think he's going to be a lot like Case Keenum. I think he will get a chance to start at some point, and I think every team will see a lot of value in having him on their roster for a long time.
Because the idea is, like, someone like that could be career backup, but you just need them to move the ball down the field. So,
And you know, Case Keenum came in, won playoff games for the Vikings. That was like
the Minnesota miracle. Like,
these guys can do it. And then he was a Texan. Texan signed him to be the starter.
Dude, you are teeing these up because my next question. We just mentioned Diggs and the Texans, and here we are.
Yes.
This is clearly from my family. Who should the Stroud Boys, which incredible nickname, by the way, that's been established. The Stroud Boys, a.k.a. the Houston Texans, a.k.a. the 2024 Super Bowl champs target in the draft. This is especially an interesting one because, as I mentioned earlier, they traded out of the first round. They accumulated picks that they then used to get Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So their first pick is in the second round now. Who should they target in the draft? Guess what are their needs?
So the Texans have a lot of needs. That team is actually built pretty well, but people are kind of forgetting how terrible they truly were to get to where they are. I think they did a good job consolidating power. A lot of these guys, which is funny for the Stroud Boys, but a lot of these teams, they don't really see the value in having rookies, and it feels like the Texans did. And they kind of understand like what you need to do, but they still kind of need to build through their trenches. So if I were them, I would actually look at some offensive linemen that might fall, or a guy I love for them, and I know your family's going to hate this, is Chris Jenkins Jr., the defensive tackle from Michigan. He is a stud. And oh my God, the havoc he would wreak next to Will Anderson. Both of them are hand fighting or linemen. So both of them don't bull rush. They use a lot of like swat maneuvers. And for those that don't like really study the big fat guys up front, like those guys are the guys that wreak hell play in and play out, because they're pushing people around. They're throwing blockers into other blockers. It's a mess. Him next to Will Anderson would be such an incredible lineup. It would give, they could put them on the same side and just right off the bat, they're going to win. They're going to have to, someone's going to have to chip. You could start when on defense, your goal, especially these days with all the rule changes and things that are happening on defense, your goal is to make the offense respond to your guys. You want to have a setup that like the Cowboys do it with Micah Parsons. They'll intentionally move him around. So that way the offense and the quarterback has to find Micah Parsons. And then the Cowboys do a pretty good job.
Shift their protection accordingly.
Of building in kind of trick plays where they're like, actually, Micah Parsons going to loop across the line and then drop into coverage. And all of a sudden you have two linemen standing there waiting for Micah Parsons and he's not even coming. I think Chris Jenkins would be a slam dunk home run pick for the Texans. I would love to see him next to Will Anderson. I love hand fighting guys. He's fast. He's strong. He's got a good pedigree. Pro build. He's got a pro build defensive tackle.
We're breaking stereotypes here. Yeah.
We'll change the stigma. We'll change the stigma. But he's one of the reasons that Michigan team was so good. I think that the Texans really kind of need to build through the trenches, and that'd be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, they do have some studs on the outside that are their flashy names. You know, they now have a trio of wide receivers. They got Stingley at a corner. So
yep,
and those are the like quote not sexy picks, but the more I get into the draft, I love the offensive line, defensive line angles, because I think they make the biggest difference when you hit on them. So next question, this one will interest me very much since it's a need for allegedly my favorite team. Jury's out on that. Who is the,
look, I stay petty,
tongue in cheek, who's a fifth round QB that will rise up to be a top three running back? Obviously it's been a trend that sometimes the no names rise up to be studs, but who, spoiler alert, running back is pretty deep. I'd be surprised if one went in round one.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Inherently, this position group is going to be at day two tops, so all these guys are going to be later picks, but who has the most potential?
Of everybody in the draft, I would say Bucky Irving is probably my favorite running back, which is, I know, like a hot take because people love Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. People actually kind of like talk about his low snap counts and torn ACL. I think he's great. Blake Corum, again, great running back. I don't care about the athleticism. I don't think it matters. But I think when you talk about like studs, guys that like you draft a fifth round guy to answer the question and he just vastly outperforms his position, it's like Bucky Irving, Trey Benson, and then a hot take, and I hate the team, but Will Shipley from Clemson. His only knock on himself is he doesn't run through arm tackles. Like, he's an easy guy to bring down if you can get your hands on him in the NFL. A team like the Texans that run a zone run scheme, look at how quickly the Texans ditched Damian Pierce. Like, instantly, because he didn't fit their scheme. If Will Shipley can get to a zone run scheme, I think he could be just as good as Eckler was for the Chargers.
So you had Bucky Irving,
who is, again, another guy that was easy to tackle when you got your hands on him. And people act like these things like happen all the time. How often was it that Austin Eckler seemingly couldn't get hands on him?
It doesn't matter if they're past your first level.
Yeah.
All right. You like Bucky Irving out of Oregon, Will Shipley out of Clemson.
I love Bucky Irving.
Who's the other name you mentioned?
Trey Benson out of Florida State. This is like one of my favorite running back classes because I love running backs that have like a flaw for some reason. I don't know what it is about me. I'm just like a sicko. Like Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Like, again, like this is a guy I would love to see. Like, he's 6'2", 250 or something like that.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. I mean, being a Big Ten football fan, it's like he felt like he's in college forever.
Yeah.
Because I think he played since he was a freshman. He's just gigantic.
And he's 20 years old right now. He's 20 years old. The guy's literally like, he could not go to a bar to celebrate himself getting drafted. Like, a team like the Cowboys, where they, like, that's the kind of guy they should focus on. Like, 6'2", 250. Eddie's a straightforward runner. You have the Deuce Vaughn. Like, no offense, but, like, yeah. if you have Braylon Allen in there and you're sitting in a shotgun and the running back's on the strong side with you, Braylon Allen is not going to fool anybody in the pass game. He's just not going to. But he's enough of a threat that you could just hand it to him and go get 3 yards. If you have numbers in the box and you spread him out, Braylon Allen's a big enough boy that he's going to go get you those 3 yards.
Worth noting, right on cue, and I doubt you knew this because you've been watching every snap of quarterbacks and stuff.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have hosted Braylon Allen. There's a lot of...
I did not know that.
Yeah, so... To number one podcast listeners, in case you ever questioned it, he came to that organically without knowing that they've they've had Braylon Allen.
I try not to pay attention to visits and stuff because they scare me. I feel like I used to fall in love with them,
and then
I realized sometimes I feel like teams are bringing guys in for visits just like to do due diligence.
Yeah,
and it's like they're like, hey, let's just bring in every running back so no one knows that we're really interested in Bucky Irving.
Yeah. He's the running back I would say I know the best. Like I said, Big Ten football, and he's been there for a while. I think he'd be a fun fit, and I've kind of went over to that side of like, hey, I think it's better to just get young running backs, and I think they can do a great job.
Yeah.
Like you said, even if they have a flaw.
20 years old.
Yeah.
20 years old.
Totally.
Like,
okay. I love this one. Which quarterback do you honestly think you're better than? This is so perfect for you.
I mean, like honestly, none of these guys. But hypothetically, Spencer Rattler. I just feel like because he's so physically gifted, he's doing the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life, like a quarterback do. And I feel like if I was taking snaps, I would just be like trying to read the defense and make the smartest, quickest throw possible to get the hell out of it. Yeah, I would literally be like, I've never seen him check a safety. I actually watched a game when he was at Oklahoma. He broke the huddle, was looking left, and then just called right and saw snap. He never looked at the defense, like not once. I remember just thinking to myself, I'm like, that's like when you would play pickup football and you would just be like, all right, just get open. Like, I'll just find something to beat your guy. It's like, it blew my mind when I saw that. And you saw, I think it was, it wasn't Cliff there, was it, at that point? I forget who it was. But whatever coach it was, literally was like, looked like shrugging and was like, what the fuck was that? He didn't look at the defense. And I think he ended up just like sailing a ball over the head, which is a pretty safe incompletion for people at home.
Yeah.
But still, it was so dumb that I feel confident that if Patrick Mahomes got hurt, and it was me or Spencer Rattler with 4 tries from the 10, I feel like I could get us into the end zone better than Spencer Rattler could. I feel like there's a good chance he takes like a 15-yard sack, and there's like a 0% chance I'm doing that. Like, I would just spike the ball as fast as I could.
You might get a grounding, but you're not taking a 15-yard sack.
Yeah, I'm not taking a 15-yard sack.
That's awesome. Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina, in case you – I think he's a pretty famous name. He was a high high interest transfer back in the day when Caleb Williams originally took over for him at Oklahoma.
Correct.
I believe that's the story. Yeah. But
Oklahoma's so incestuous, dude. It's like nuts. Like, you see, go through, if you're ever bored, go through their line of quarterbacks and be like, how are these guys not won anything? This is nuts.
It is crazy. All right. Also love this one. And I think it's an important perspective we all have because in this age, it's always like, they missed on this position, all that stuff. But why is quarterback the hardest position to predict success?
This is a great question, listener. So for me, this comes down to a lot of things, and I see this brought up all the time. Like, how did they miss on this guy? How did they not get this guy? A quarterback relies on every other position to be good. Every other position has to be good for a quarterback to succeed. It doesn't matter if the guy's like a great player, but him and his quarterback have to be in sync. So often you see guys that come in and they aren't in sync. Look at Bryce Young. That guy was alone on an island. And at one point, the only guy he was in sync with was Adam Thielen.
Yep.
And him and Adam Thielen were dangerous moving down the field. Like, they were reading defenses together, things like that. But for a quarterback, and Bryce Young looked like shit. He looked terrible last year. He could very well put it together. I still like Bryce Young. But these guys rely on everybody. And on top of that, Russell Wilson screwed everything up. He won on that rookie contract right after they instituted the cap. And then teams started saying, like, that's how you win. That's how you win. It's still not how you win. I'm not a huge proponent on paying quarterbacks buku bucks. But I am still – like, it doesn't make sense to me to look at C.J. Stroud and say, like, we're going to win this year. C.J. Stroud was incredible. He was arguably a top five quarterback in the league last year. Well, like, I would, you'd be hard pressed to make an argument he's not at the very least a top seven quarterback. Yeah. You just, there's no logical explanation for it. They still got their teeth kicked in when it came down to it because that team didn't have enough talent.
Yeah.
They just don't have it. And it's like, they almost might have been better off just letting Stroud take the reins in week six. You know what I mean? Sit down, don't get bad habits. They'd have a better draft pick right now. Yeah. The team looked incredible as it is. I want to play a game really quick. Just really quick. It'll take 1 minute. Okay. I'm going to name a quarterback matchup, and you tell me which guy you would prefer.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield? And this is just to win you one game.
Lamar Jackson.
Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones?
Jalen Hurts.
Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Joe Burrow.
Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert?
Mahomes.
Aaron Rodgers or Tua Tagovailoa?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I hate him too, but that's who I would pick to win the one game.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson?
Oh, this one, Kirk Cousins.
Okay. All right, here's a good one for you.
That could be either. I feel like I'm biased because Russell has had some bad years, so that one feels close.
So that's it. We named six quarterback matchups. Do you know the difference?
What is it?
You picked every single quarterback that didn't start every game of his rookie career. Whoa. Every single one of those guys had time to sit. You picked every single guy that had time to sit. Other guy I named did not have time to sit. Yeah, every single one, six for six. Yeah. So it's like, you picked every single guy. When did we stop letting quarterbacks learn how to play quarterback? And look at how we're screwing these guys up. Trevor Lawrence was a can't-miss prospect.
Yeah.
He was a can't-miss prospect. He looks terrible. He still looks like how he looked as a rookie. I mean, he looks pretty good for all you Jaguars fans, all one Jaguar fan. But, like, Trevor Lawrence looks fine, but he has not grown as a player. He's hardly grown as a player. Look at Daniel Jones. Look at Baker Mayfield. These guys come in, and they start establishing who they are, and they try to work on that. Joe Burrow got hurt. Lamar Jackson was sitting. Patrick Mahomes was sitting. Aaron Rodgers was sitting. Kirk Cousins was sitting. All these guys had time to sit and learn how to play the position. And, you know, Herbert's a great quarterback. Like, I'm not saying anything against it. But, like, there's a guy in his division very physically similar to him in terms of the plays they can make. And Justin Herbert has not grown that much since that incredible rookie year. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's a great quarterback. But how often do you see Justin Herbert do a throw? And you're like, why did he force that?
Yeah.
And it's because he never had time to sit. Like, Alex Smith taught Patrick Mahomes how to sit. Joe Burrow, they put him in initially, and luckily he got hurt and had time to sit. Because if you watch his early games, his rookie year, he did not look that great. I mean, he would make electric plays just because that team was really stacked, honestly. Like, T. Higgins, he's tossing the ball up to them. Jalen Hurts had time to sit. All these guys, it's so important.
I've never thought about that, but we don't. Obviously, we never hope for injuries, but that's the reason they have Jamar Chase, right?
Yes.
Because Burrow got hurt.
It's literally the reason they had Jamar Chase. Yeah, because Burrow got hurt and they lost a ton of games. Because there's no point in rushing your quarterback to try to win games because their never going to happen.
Is awful.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, no offense, but like, let's look at your guy, Dak Prescott, who we both think the Cowboys should sign because we don't trust them to actually do a rebuild.
Yeah.
He started every game since his rookie career, 13-3 in his rookie year, right? This is off the top of that.
Now, they intended to sit him for what it's worth, but he played his way into it, yeah.
Okay. And has he gotten significantly better since that 13-3 season?
No. I mean, it's fluctuated, but I think
he's a good quarterback, for sure. But has he elevated his game in any way? No, because he's been forced to play a certain way since he came into the league. And these are his habits. This is just how he comes in and learns. Joe Burrow spent those 9 games, and he talked about it when he was sitting on the bench. He was like, yeah, I just learned how to read a defense. Like, I just sat there and focused on how to read an NFL defense. Like, because he wasn't tired from working out and all this stuff, because he was sitting, he wasn't taking first-team reps, he was able to sit there and watch tape and, like, get better at the game. It's like, we should start sitting quarterbacks again, especially because of the rookie wage scale. Yeah. They see it the opposite now. They say, like, oh, he's cheap, let's try to win while we evaluate. No, that's like some Costco shit. Like, they used to be like, oh, you know, we just put all this money into Eli Manning. Let's sit him behind Kurt Warner and not ruin him. Why did we stop worrying about ruining these rookie quarterbacks? Like, when did this happen?
But you're that's right. Why did, this position. It did coincide with the salary cap change relatively.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Or it's the like, wage scale. I mean, not the salary cap.
Yeah, we burned Jameis Winston instantly. Did he ever get good habits? No. Look at Marcus Mariota. No. Yeah. Like, these guys were great college players.
Yep.
Great college players that had everything you need. I, to this day, pound the table and say Jameis Winston, if he goes to a competent franchise, is a franchise quarterback right now. He's ruined. He's done. Yeah. He's never going to be a decent quarterback because these guys never have time to learn. And that's why quarterback is so hard to predict success because – so much of it is out of his hands.
Yeah.
So much of it is out of his hands.
100% has to do with context.
Yeah. Like, it's tough. But, yeah, just wanted to mention that. And, again, I'm very lucky you did go 6 for 6. You picked all guys that sat.
We did not discuss that exercise at all. That was on the fly. And you just blew, like, I got goosebumps because I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah. Feel like you picked all 6 guys.
Yeah. Okay. This is a fun one for you. And here in Ohio, a lot of Bengals fans. Another segue. Bengals, are they finally going to find an established tight end?
No. I would love for them to take Brock Bowers. He's my favorite college football player of all time. Everybody knows this. I would take Brock Bowers first overall if I could. I think he's like a demigod the way he played. He could have been running back. He did everything for that Georgia team. No, the Bengals offensive scheme doesn't count for it. Our tight end basically just runs hooks and drags and blocks. Yeah. It's never going to be a premier position for them. Burrow is kind of a tight end maker. Every tight end we've had that has left him has either gone on to do nothing or vastly disappoint. Wow. And we now have tight ends coming back. I think we just signed Gesicki. I think they're good. I would love for them to take Brock Bowers. Like, I would – you have no idea. I mocked them to him because I'm just trying to manifest it at some point.
But a lot of other Bengals fans I know feel the same way, by the way.
Yeah, so it's just not going to happen. I would actually say that you'll almost never see them take a tight end. If it's not Brock Bowers, it's never happening.
Yeah.
Like, Brock Bowers is a top 10 guy that might fall at a weird positional value. Right. I think the Colts would be insane not to take Brock Bowers. But it just, the scheme doesn't count for it. And Zach Taylor's never going anywhere, so the scheme's going to be around forever. So it's just not going to happen.
This one makes me laugh. How are the Giants going to fuck this up?
Oh, I'm sure they'll find a way. I would go ahead and say not taking Malik Nabers is a good way to fuck this up. Malik Nabers should be there for them at 6 if things go right.
Yeah.
If at 6 Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers aren't there, if they don't take Adunzie, they fucked up this draft. If they don't walk away with one of those wideouts, they fucked up this draft.
One of the top 3.
Yeah, they just screwed up the draft.
Which is guaranteed to them because for all intents and purposes, we know first 3 all targeting quarterback. So that leaves, if they're number 6, obviously it leaves. If
one of those 3 quarterbacks.
If it goes 3 QBs and 3 receivers, they'd still get one of them.
Yes. Like, their worst case scenario, they'll have a great wideout staring them in the face.
Yep.
I would even, you know, if I were them, I wouldn't even blink twice at Brock Bowers if a wideout falls. If they try to take an offensive lineman, they're fucking up this draft. Daniel Jones is screwed over there. Screwed. He's gone. They need to get somebody who can step in and support a quarterback. So get the rookie wideout now and go get a quarterback next year.
Okay. Like that. What is Harbaugh's master scheme for the Chargers? A lot of interesting moves. They traded Keenan Allen to the Bears this offseason.
Yeah.
Got some offense alignment movement. Their center, Corey Linsley, retired. They got a lot of moving parts, and Harbaugh's made some change. No more Austin Eckler there either, so a change at
running. Yeah, they're running the ball.
I think they have Gus Edwards is who they signed.
Yeah, they're running the ball. That's what they're doing. They're taking that ball and they're running it down the throats of the opponents 35, 40
times. It's going to feel very Michigan-like. Everywhere he's gone, he's
did it
out.
At Michigan. He did it at San Francisco. He did it at Stanford. The guy barely threw the ball with Andrew Luck. He's never going to be a throw-the-ball guy.
Yeah.
And he brought Greg Roman with him.
Yeah.
He brought Greg Roman with him. So he brought the guy that also does the run the ball thing. They're going to run the ball. You're going to see them in lots of single back. I actually have a sneaking suspicion, and I don't have this in my mock because it's almost like an intuition type thing where I'm not sure. I think he's taking an offensive lineman, even if Marvin Harrison is there. I think because he's not going to throw the ball enough to these guys to go justified. I think he's got Quentin Johnston. He's got some guys over there. He's like, they're good enough. Look at the look at the wideouts the Niners had.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't – like that sorry-ass Michael Crabtree. Like, that someone else gave him. He never invested in that position ever. Look at – even the – I could see him maybe in the second, third if a Michigan guy falls and he's like, I know he's a good blocker. I could see him doing that. But he's going to run that ball so often people are going to be like – people are going to start doubting Justin Herbert because they're idiots. That's what's going to happen. They're going to be like, what's wrong with Justin Herbert that he only threw for 3,000 yards? It's like they ran it 600 times last year.
So that's a nice segue into a fantasy tip. I may want to target their running backs this year.
Yes, absolutely. If Blake Corum is there in the third and the Chargers are picking, run that up to the podium.
Yeah. That'd be, if you're in a dynasty league, a popular pick too.
Yeah.
Okay, again, we're going to talk about quarterbacks later. I'm interested by this name as well. What team can Michael Penix fix?
Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins, wow. A lot of people have him being a good fit for the Raiders. Why is that?
So he's a great deep ball thrower. That's pretty much all he can do exceptionally well. He's a pretty good quarterback, but that's all he can do exceptionally well. And he needs to go to a team that can take advantage of that. The Raiders cannot. Maybe if Henry Ruggs was a sane human being, he'd be a better spot for him there. But Devontae's like a route runner. It's just not going to be a good fit. He's a great deep ball player. I think the Dolphins would be great, better suited not paying Tua and taking Michael Penix.
Go from one lefty to another.
Yeah. It makes it nice and easy. They're used to it, you know.
Okay, we talked about this a little later, but this is more I was projecting it. Are the Bears better off picking at number 9 or trading down?
Picking if it's a Dunze, trading down if it's not. Okay. I actually don't think they'll go wide out, as funny as this is, but I think that the value Odunze would provide there would be nuts.
And for what it's worth, you have the aforementioned Leitu out of UCLA edge going to them in the mock draft with no trades. And the one with trades, you have them taking a Dunze. So perfect segue there. I wonder if they'll still go wide receiver with them having picked up Keenan out.
Keenan's a rental.
Yeah.
Keenan's a rental.
So, I mean, that'd be a fun trio, though, for even if it is just a year. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and a Dunze would be real fun. So
yes.
Okay. That wraps up our number one podcast listener-sponsored questions. So I want to thank you, number one podcast listeners, for submitting those for Thomas to answer. A lot of great content out of those. But next up, I have a few questions for you just to orient folks to how when they watch the draft. We just talked about it, hinted at it a bunch. QB ranking. I know you said you've watched every QB throw, so this is especially big for you.
I'm sick.
How do you rank the I'll give you this list of quarterbacks and add in whoever you'd like from there. How do you rank Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix out of Oregon?
Okay. I can do this. Caleb Williams, 1. Drake May, 2. J.J. McCarthy, 3. Jaden Daniels, 4. Bo Nix, 5. Michael Penix, 6.
Got it. We already talked earlier about dark horse QB prospects. You named our guy Michael Pratt. That's the name to watch. The honorary Clayton Tune Bailey Zappi Award goes to Michael Pratt out of Tulane. So I was going to ask you about that, but that was a good little preview there.
Yes. Oops, sorry.
Okay.
If Vegas ever opens the books on whether or not a guy will start a random game his rookie year, I'm going to be a rich man.
I'm going to be watching very closely. Yes. Where he goes. Okay. Yes. Which of those quarterbacks that I just mentioned, and there weren't any other names that fall in there?
No, right? Like Jordan Travis isn't in the same sphere. Yeah. There's like there's a huge drop off between 5 and or 6 and 7 in this draft.
Okay. Huge drop between 6 and 7. All right. Who of those quarterbacks are worth around one grade in your estimate?
Caleb, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels. That's it.
Okay. So the big four, so to speak.
Yep. If the Dolphins, like if Penix is there in the second, great pick. I would honestly be, that'd be a great pick. It gives them kind of leverage against Tua. Tua gets hurt a lot, so having a high-value backup couldn't hurt either. I don't even know if the Dolphins have their second, but if he's available, they should go trade up and grab him. I think he's the kind of guy they should target in a fall. And, you know, Bo Nix is another guy that it's a high upside thing. That's the kind of guy like the Raiders or someone should, Raiders or Broncos should take with their second picks in the draft.
Okay. In your estimation, I know you graded them only four in the round one. Do you think a fifth one goes?
I'll say under.
All right, so that's perfect. I said it at four and a half QBs taken in round one. You're going under four. Got it.
Yeah, I'll say it's four. I don't think anyone's going to overdraft those guys.
And the major critique of Michael Penix, which you'll hear a lot of, is his injury history. Back when he was at Indiana, he's had significant injuries. Also, he is 24, which sounds. We're not talking about our day-to-day life in football terms. Yeah. 24 entering your rookie season is old.
I'll tell you what. After I drink Magic Mind, I feel 24 years old. Nice and refreshed. Top of the mind.
But for football terms, I'd be like, I feel 20 years old.
Yeah. I feel 15 right now.
Okay, great. Move on to wide receivers. I give you the following three names, and then I want who rounds out four and five, because there's a lot of names after the top three I recognize, so I want to get who rounds out your top five wide receivers. I give you Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and then who's four and five, and how do you rank them?
I'll explain this quickly so that way you don't get mad at me. Malik Nabers at one.
So, congratulations.
I'll explain it quickly. Marvin Harrison Jr. at two, Rome Odunze at three, Brian Thomas at four, and Troy Franklin at five. All right, let me just explain this quickly. Marvin Harrison Jr. is an incredible prospect. The things he does do not change a game the way Malik Nabers or someone else of that skill set can. Like, Larry Fitzgerald, incredible player for the Cardinals for whatever it was, 14 years. Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr. reminds me so much of Larry Fitzgerald.
That is a big comp that you get a lot of, too.
Yeah, like, he's so much like him. The route running's incredible. The hands are incredible. He doesn't do certain things that just make you go like, wow. Like, he's not going to win a lot of plays, but he's never going to lose you one. The only reason I have Nabers ahead of him is if you watch Jaden Daniels plays, and I'll send you a YouTube link and you can do this after. I'll send you a YouTube video. It's all Jaden Daniels throws. Click a random time, click randomly in the video and watch the first Malik Nabers throw. And you'll be like, wow, Nabers really won that play entirely. It was an underthrown ball that Nabers went back, caught, turned around and did that. Sure. Marvin Harrison, maybe he's suffering eye test wise from making it look too easy. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys have that happen, but like, Marvin Harrison's not a game breaker. But if he's paired with a game-breaking quarterback like Kyler Murray, I think he could have a way better career than Nabers. But as a prospect, it's like, I prefer my guys that are going to win the plays for me.
Got it. Hate it, but
like, Devontae Adams doesn't win a lot of plays. And he's like was a top five wideout in the league for so long. But like, Ja'Marr Chase wins a lot of plays. Justin Jefferson wins a lot of plays.
So is it fair for me to say, like, the flashes are going to be more obvious with Nabers than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, you'll see, like, I mean, Harrison is a lot, like, oddly enough, he's just one of those guys that's going to get you first down after first down. It's like Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Remember when the Vikings had both those guys?
Yep.
People would see Chris Carter had 8 catches for 60 yards or whatever it is, and they were all first downs. Yep. And then Randy Moss would have 3 catches for 3 touchdowns and 190 yards, and everyone's like, Moss is the GOAT. Like, it's just the different kind of wide receiver you have.
True story, the first Madden, because I used to only play, like, NFL Blitz, but first time I started playing Madden, I would use the Vikings and roll to the right and throw to Chris Carter every time.
Oh, yeah. Robert Smith was the running back. Ohio State boy. That was Robert Smith was that running back over there.
Yeah. Go Bucks, baby. Yes, sir. I don't want to ask over-under for the entire first round because that could get out of hand. Oh, worth noting, You rounded out your top five. Brian Thomas is also out of LSU. A lot of projections have him like mid-first, I would say, right? Mid-first to late. Troy Franklin's from Oregon, just to orient yourself. There's a couple receivers out of Texas you'll hear a lot about. Xavier Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, who is the underwear Olympics MVP.
Keon Coleman from Florida State.
Yes. Which I love Keon Coleman's size. I think he's like a fun prospect. He Michigan State and then had a big year at Florida State and then kind of fell under the, I think he had a slow 40 time or something for relative to receivers. But those are some
Roman Wilson, Ricky Purcell, Ladd McConkey.
Yep. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Yep. Okay. But
he is 6'6" guy from Florida State.
Wow. So Florida State had two huge receivers. If Keon Coleman wasn't even the tallest one.
Yes.
Over under 2.5 wide receivers taken in the top 10.
Over.
And I mean, you said it earlier. You think it's a mistake if Adunze doesn't get drafted.
Yep.
If he's sitting there.
Correct.
Next up, we talked a little bit about them before in regards to Joe Alt, but I wanted to get your offensive tackle rankings. Some names to consider, and feel free to add or delete any of these. Olu Fashanu out of Penn State, Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, Fuaga out of Oregon State, Amarius Mims out of Georgia, J.C. Latham out of Bama, Troy Fountainu, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, out of Washington, and Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Those are the names I see the most of, but give me your top three or five.
Joe Alt at one, easy. Fashanu at two. Fuaga at three. Fatanu probably at four. J.C. Latham at five.
Okay.
I'd say Amarius Mims at six. And then I would say a giant leap down into Tyler Guyton, who I think is just like vastly overrated. This year's Trevor Penning Award winner.
Oh, there we go. Deep cut there for you guys. Which Thomas hit on the Penning bust.
Bust.
Yeah.
I told you, I got to reiterate this because people don't know this. Trevor Penning was benched his years with the Saints. Yep. He came in for his first snap of the season. They brought him in as an extra blocker in a jumbo package on 4th-and-1. And he false started, and they had to settle for a field goal. Disaster player. Offensive linemen can screw your quarterbacks up. Yep. Do not take bad ones. Don't take projects. Do not take project offensive linemen. Yes. Sign old vets and let them sit on the bench. If you're starting a project offensive lineman, you're screwing your offense.
Save those for later in the draft.
Or draft him and sit him.
Yeah.
Like, just sit him. Mekhi Becton had no business fucking starting for the Jets week in and week out.
Yeah. Okay. Next one I want your take on. A lot of, like, to your point about the draft in general, cornerbacks are kind of all grouped together, and it seems like everybody has kind of a different take on them. If I give you the names, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama also, Nate Wiggins, Clemson, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, and Ennis Rakestraw out of Mizzou. Some really fun names to say out of that group. What's your ranking?
All right, I'll give it to you real quick. Kenyon Mitchell, one. Kool-Aid, two. Nate Wiggins, three. Kamari Lassiter, four. Cooper DeJean, five. Rakestraw, six. Terrion Arnold, seven.
Wow. Arnold that low, huh?
Yeah, I think he'll get overdrafted. I actually just really like the cornerbacks in this draft, so it's like I think all these guys could be good. I'd say the one I'm least confident in is probably Lassiter. Okay. But I do think Georgia just doesn't have good defensive backs, since I think Champ Bailey. But all these cornerbacks are great. It's a great year to need a corner. I think Cooper DeJean would do backflips in Detroit. He would be perfect fit there.
Wow. All right. And they're sitting in perfect spot for that late in the first round. So,
yeah.
Okay. I like asking this of you every year. What positions have a clear lock for top prospect? So I have a few for you to consider. We talked about one of these positions, but Brock Bowers at tight end, for example, Dallas Turner.
That's a lock.
Okay. Yeah. So Bowers at tight end. Any other positions?
And Turner. That have Turner at edge and Bowers are locks.
Those are the only two.
Those are like dead set locks. I would also say alt at offensive tackle is a lock. You know, I mean, can you say Caleb Williams? Because I would say Caleb Williams is like an absolute lock too. And then four linebackers, like stand up inside linebackers. I think Peyton Wilson from NC State is so far ahead of everybody else.
I like that. It's a deep.
I think he might even get drafted at the end of the first. Because people are like, if we need a linebacker, this is the guy.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. What is the deepest position group in this year's draft?
Wide out.
Wide receiver?
Yeah.
There's some potential starters and obviously in round two, but even beyond that, you think?
Yeah, there's like a huge – this is a great wideout. Like Johnny Wilson, 6'6", huge project guy that you could go take. Like there are just so many different types of guys in this draft that everybody who needs a wideout should be able to walk away with one.
Got it. What is the weakest position group?
Tight end. There are two guys worth having on NFL rosters in this draft. It's Brock Bowers and Jatavion Sanders out of Texas.
That dude is huge. That dude is huge. And didn't he wear like number zero? He looked like
He looked
talk cool. about a pro build. Cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna start only saying it to describe non-white athletes. This guy's got a real pro build to him.
Okay. Who is the best offensive prospect? Is it Bowers?
Yeah, it's Bowers. I think the thing with Bowers, and people get it twisted, and you see him fall, and you're like, "Why?" You know, Kyle Pitts went at four and all this stuff. First of all, it's a very quarterback-heavy class, this draft, which screws everything up. Brock Bowers, if he's not the best receiving tight end in the league, he'll be one of the better blocking tight ends in the league.
So he's still a good blocker.
He's incredible, and he's incredible with the ball in his hands, which a lot of tight ends aren't. Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the league, not great with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
You know, George Kittle is like he's Brock Bowers is like a better version of George Kittle. He's slightly worse as a blocker, but he's incredible with the ball in his hands. You could realistically hand the ball off to Bowers, and Georgia did it many times.
Yeah,
they've put lined him up in the backfield and handed it to him off tackle. Like there's like he has no flaw in his game that even if you miss on him and he's not a great receiver and he's only putting up 400 yards, three touchdowns a year, you have a great blocker. You have a great guy on that team. I just think he's a can't miss guy. If he's not good, I will never scout another tight end in my life.
And if you're number one podcast listeners, you probably remember this, especially you Lions fans. You definitely hit on tight end last year.
Yeah, I have always like really focused on tight end because it's like the most fascinating position to me because they are literally guys with two completely different jobs. They're half receivers, half blockers now, and no one else does that. So to me, it's like when you watch these guys and, you know, when I watched Laporta, I saw everything I needed to see. And it's like Bowers does all of that on a better level than Laporta does.
Yeah. Okay. So that's your best if you're ranking offensive prospects. I like that. Okay, best defensive prospect. Is it Turner?
Yeah, it's Dallas Turner. I just think he's such a good natural pass rusher. For fun, you could make the argument that someone like Jared Verse might end up being a better player in the long run or Jerzon Newton, but I think Dallas Turner's the best prospect. At some point, you got to be happy with being wrong.
Yeah.
And I think if I take Dallas Turner and he sucks, I'm like, that's not my fault. You know what I mean? He got the bag and quit. So it just is what it is.
Yep. Okay. Who is the name being – I got just thought of a bonus one. Who's the top name being talked about that is, in your estimation, overrated for as high as they're being talked about?
Jaden Daniels.
Wow.
Jaden Daniels, I watch his throws. He does not make a, he relies on Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers to win those footballs for him, win those throws, win those plays so often. He reminds me so much of Justin Fields. It's nuts. It's crazy. Now, I know you're a Go Bucks guy, yeah. So I will say I liked Justin Fields coming out, and I still like Justin Fields. I think he kind of fell victim to exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah.
He did not have a good support system around him, and he was forced to do it all on his own.
Yep.
That's never going to work out. Jaden Daniels is going to be the same way. Now, if Washington takes him, they have Terry McLaurin there. They have Dotson there. They went and signed Eckler, which I think people don't realize. And, like, I played quarterback, so you learn these things. There's times you get to the snap and you kind of Spencer Rattler it, and you're not noticing something happening, and your running back taps you and literally points.
Yeah.
Because he's standing right next to you when you're in a shotgun, and you're and he's looking at it, too. He's like, you didn't see this. The amount of times he's tapped me and just been like, that guy. I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah,
thanks. Completely. Did not see him. Would have got destroyed. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks so much. Like, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
It's like they have a good support system in, so I don't think he'll be bad. But I will say, if the Pats take Jaden Daniels, I could see that being a disaster.
Got it.
Disaster, because they have nobody. I would be the fourth best wideout on that Pats roster, Prem. Like, just by virtue of showing up to work on time.
Pro build,
like,
though.
Yeah, pro bill. Yeah, my 5'10 fat body is really going to be. Yeah, I look like Rikishi. I'm really not going to do much.
All right. I love those questions. I appreciate your scouting expertise.
Here to help.
And indulging all these. Hopefully, you number one podcast listeners can take all of Thomas's expertise and pretend it's your own and impress all the people around you.
Yeah, you got to drop Michael Tulane out of the draft. You really want to impress somebody? Like when Michael Penix or Bo Nix get drafted, you got to tell your buddies, you got to turn and be like, look, they're good. I get it. They had high big games. Pac-12 was lit. But like Michael Tulane throws a better touch pass
Michael
than
Pratt.
Either of them.
Michael
Pratt out of Tulane throws a better touch pass than either of them. And they're going to look at you and you just got to be like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Watch the tape. They're going to turn it on. They're going to go home. They're going to be curious. They're going to try to prove you wrong. And then they're going to see you were right. You're going to look like a genius.
Amen. That's what we're here for, you number one podcast listeners. All right. I wanted a quick what you feeling lately. I'll go first while you think about yours.
Yeah.
My what you feeling is on trend for this. I'm feeling my tradition of watching the NFL draft with friends. One of my friends that I usually watch with is going to be out of town, but I've loved getting to watch it with friends and text with other friends about it. I always text you with guys that we talked about on here. It's one of the most fun things. It's like I've always been into the draft, but as I've gotten older, the amount of friends that I've found that are also into it has grown, and really enjoy that part. And then so that's what I'm feeling. What about you, man?
I'm feeling Chancellor Apper getting divorced.
Oh no, I
think it's so funny. He made an album about his wedding day and now he's getting a divorce. I take such have you ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
So I never watched Curb because my whole life people were like, you're just like Larry David. You're like little Larry David. Like, you have so many of his mannerisms. I'm like, I'm going to fucking hate this show. I started watching it and I watch it with Julie, my fiance, and literally I'll be like, he's right. He's right. Like, he's right. Everything he does is right. Julie's like, this is why I didn't want you watching this show. Like, she's like, it's validating your shitty opinions. And it's like, Chance the Rapper getting divorced is so good for me. It's like, don't make an album about your wedding. What are you doing, idiot?
It's
like,
equivalent of getting a tattoo of your spouse on you. Yeah,
except it's like, this is your whole identity, dude. Yeah. Like, if he doesn't put out a divorce record, he's a coward. And I, like, that's what it is. Like, he puts out a divorce record, I'll go on record, record an apology to him because I'll think that'll be sick.
Coming soon. There you go.
Yes.
All right. You number one podcast listeners, you know how I like to wrap up each episode with my Too Much Sense. Let's hit that intro. My Too Much Sense for this week, you number one podcast listeners, is to tell people how you feel in gratitude. I think in general, we don't tell our people how we truly feel about them enough. I don't want to be like dark and say until it's too late or whatever, but just want to give you advice on what I use in my daily life. I like to especially do it with friends and family on their birthdays. It's a nice day to like, oh, it's their birthday. It's a good chance for me to tell them you know, the good things I feel about him. So it's my opportunity to be thankful for them being in my life, and I don't think we do it nearly enough. So that's my too much sense for this week.
You gave me a nice birthday text.
Exactly. See, you won't.
I feel like you and I never text normal, though. Yeah. We're all our texts are like, hey, how are you? I love you.
Yeah.
Like, all of our it texts are literally.
Or it's like, hey, try this drink.
Yeah, like, it's such a duality of things. I'll be like, hey, like, how are you? How are the kids? How's the wife? It's like, new Sprite fucking sucks. Like, it's just like, those are our only texts. But I think that's great advice in life, honestly. I try to do it. I will say I kind of take pride in not showing some gratitude, if that makes sense. I know this sounds insane, but like,
very curbed. Like,
I stand on my business is what I'm saying. Like, my friends know I appreciate them. Yep. Like, they know it. Like, I show up for them. So it's like, they know I appreciate them.
Definitely. So yeah, that does it. You number one podcast listeners, our annual NFL draft preview edition of Prem Brulee, the number one podcast in your headphones, the number one source for NFL draft scouting. Thanks to my guy, Thomas Lewis, comedian, director, NFL scouting extraordinaire, you name it, he does it. I want to thank you, Thomas, for joining us and lending your expertise to the number one podcast listeners. We greatly appreciate it.
Always happy to be here.
And your number one podcast listeners know the deal. Like, subscribe, share this episode, tell a friend to tell a friend, and we will talk to you on the next edition.